IVM.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to ask everyone for a quick favor. We're running a brand survey right now and would really appreciate it if you could let us know what you think about the advertising on IVM. Go to ivmpodcast.com/survey and do let us know. As part of this, we'll be selecting 10 random participants and sending them some IVM swag. So do fill out those surveys.
Hi, and welcome to Know Your Kanoon. This is Amber from AM Brada Ventures, and we are here again on another episode of Know Your Kanoon with the most amazing Trisha. Trisha, again, I don't need to give an introduction. We've done one episode with her, so all of you guys know that she's an author. She's now going to delve into talking about how her journey continued as an author and how copyright was one part which she learned during the process, and as a publisher as well. So she knows most of the things about overall, you know, if we say that you want to be entering the business publication. So Trisha, handing it over to you. Thank you so much for sparing your time again and being on our show. You know, it's we wanted to do a complete series, but things went out of hand, and now Trisha is back again because we were busy, and I was busy rather, I would say. She was available. But for all the people out there, we are both second doses done. So we are emancipated people. Hence, you see us without masks in our own workspaces. But thank you, Trisha, for being here. Good to have you. I would want you to throw some knowledge on the publication sector. And I want people to know that how, when you're entering the business, copyright plays a major part in your life. That would be a major, you know, I want people to throw light on that from that perspective. So that'll be great. So could you start with that?
Okay. Thank you, Amber, for having me here. And yes, we are all, both of us are second doses down. I'm so relieved after that. But yeah, so coming to copyright law, it's kind of a huge, huge area. And as a publisher, I've just only taken into consideration just a little bit of it, which deals with books, not even journalism, not even music, not even any other aspect, because that is where I have worked in. And I've made mistakes. We have learned from it. And without a legal background, it's a trial and error for us as well. So right. We try to be as thorough as possible, but it doesn't really always happen.
Mm-hmm.
But industry teaches you a lot. There are a lot of industry examples, which I've taken special note of while dealing with copyrights of all kinds related to pictures, paintings, photographs, as well as the text. So the first thing, one example that I wanted to talk about, very interesting example, was about letters. Now, we all know the basic copyright thing. But let's talk about letters, the actual letters. Aajkal ke zamane mein koi letter to bhejta hai nahi. But there was a time. There was a time people used to write letters and send it across. So so there's this famous, very famous Bengali author, Buddhadev Bose, most likely. Mm-hmm. And he received a letter from the very famous Satyajit Ray. They were in close contact and they used to talk to each other quite often.
Right.
So now this letter, the author actually used in one of his books as it is. Now, after a couple of days of the publication of the book, he receives a notice from the copyright holder of the book. Now, Satyajit Ray was no more at that point of time, but the copyright holder had the right to file a case or send him a notice for publishing the letter without the consent of the copyright holder.
Mm-hmm.
Now he went like, this is my thing, this is what I have received, and hence I can use it whatever the way I want. But according to the copyright law, he has the possession right.
Possession. Right, correct.
Just the possession right. The content is still with the copyright holder. Now, okay, the things were sorted after that and things like that. It went on to be printed and had at least 6 or 7 reprints and things like that after this problem was sorted. But that was a great learning for us in the publishing industry. Otherwise, we wouldn't have taken note of such a thing. We would have wanted to, but perhaps we could have missed things like that. And then this was a great example, and the letters are the best way of understanding how and where the copyright actually belongs to. So after that, there have been a lot of copyright clearances that we do, because I am in a field of books, which requires a lot of visuals, paintings, photographs, letters, maps, and things like that, along with the text of the writer, right? Now, there are several books. For example, there's one specific book. It's called Mapping India. It contains all the cartography. It is a cartography book and contains maps before 1947.
Okay. Wow, that'll be
interesting. That's a very interesting book. But we couldn't get the copyright clearance from one of the museums, and hence we could not use the map. We cannot really go against them, even though they were very important maps. We just couldn't, because the governing body of that museum didn't allow us to take it. On the other hand, a lot of international museums actually allowed us to use that in our books. It's a big book, I think a 4,000 rupee book.
Wow, wow.
But there is no other book of that nature. And we wanted to include that book, but we couldn't. So copyright clearances is very important. Most of the time, I think the Indian publishing industry is stringent about it, but at times there are misses as well, and we try to rectify it, and that has happened. We've tried to rectify it, of course, given the credits and due, just right, in case there has been a miss or not. But nobody in the publishing industry would want to do such a thing or desires to do such a thing. They generally don't do it. 99% of the time, good publishing houses will not do that. And try to be as thorough as possible. Now, there's been again a copyright infringement sort of case, perhaps we all know about, which is not really copyright infringement anymore because the judgment has been passed in favor of it. The 2012 case, DU versus the one at the photocopier. That is one of the most landmark.
I think it was exam notes.
Course
it was
material.
A book course material. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Was there copy? Yeah, yeah. The photocopy had taken. Yes.
Yeah. From different books. Chapters from different books.
But that, yeah. I will stop you there because that is such a common practice everywhere, right? It happens in all colleges, I believe. It's not only Delhi University. It got into limelight because, I don't know, I used to study from these notes called Dr. Pathan in Pune. And, these were a copy paste out of different books reworded and summarized into some kind of notes, and a yellow big book, the Kunji, was printed and sent to everybody to study from that. And though I never used it for exams, but to give you a summary of what's happening in that paragraph, they were used, but you could find notes just anywhere on any of the photocopiers because they have this kept and it's unregulated, right? So how do you deal with it? Well, let's say tomorrow you give me a book and I copy-paste the whole thing. Like, I can take printouts out of the book and I can share my views. So don't you face such things? Since you brought this up, I wanted to highlight this. What do you do with such kind of situation?
That's more common in the academic sphere in India. This is not prevalent outside India.
Yeah.
So this is not prevalent in out of India because I did my master's from Warwick. So there, they were quite meticulous about giving access to all the students. It doesn't happen outside much.
Like,
at least I didn't go through it. We were given proper, legitimate access to all the material. And libraries had enough copies. But in the case of fair use, India is a very different... developing nations are very different from the developed nations. And hence, this case, actually, the photocopier actually won on the ground that a lot of students cannot afford to buy the copies and libraries do not have the funds to buy as many copies as possible to help the students.
Okay.
Now, this is there. That's why I don't get into academic publishing at all. From a publisher's point of view, so it's a fight between the emotions and whoever produces the book. My problem is, I understand the student's psychology. Even I would, as a student, perhaps would have wanted a little cheaper version of things like that. But this judgment could have repercussions, did have a certain repercussions on the publishing industry, who also invest in the book.
Okay.
It's not just about the profit. We also invest in our book. Sometimes we forget that publishers invest their own money in creating a book to make it accessible. In the first clear case, if you didn't have the book, how would you even photocopy from it? Right?
Correct.
So even if it is a very small license, if it's a very small license, just a token amount, it's at least something we would have expected out of respect.
Right.
I would have thought so. And that's where perhaps the case was done in the first place. It's not just about the profit, perhaps. Now, I'm talking from my perspective, not talking from the multinational's perspective. I'm talking from my perspective. As an independent publisher, I'm always struggling for funds, right? So if I get a little bit from every photocopy that goes around, just a little bit, now I'm not asking to burden the students too much or things like that, I would still feel that I'm getting something in return. For an independent publishing house, an even small amount of money is important for us to have the cash flow going.
Right.
So keeping that in mind, I don't know what exactly is happening in the academic space, but it was kind of an eye-opener because most of my books in the arts sphere actually go to universities and colleges. So I don't know if that's happening. But over the years, library procurement has gone down. I have seen the library procurement going down, especially during pandemic and everything. It has completely gone down. So it has hit us in the process. But hopefully people will take notice and understand there's a lot of effort that goes into it. Even copyright clearance requires a lot of money. So we spend.
Right.
And we would like to at least get the break even sort of thing. So it's about being considerate. There is no legal or any aspect about it that we can talk about at this point of time. But then again, as we discussed in the last one, it requires us to be sensitive about the producers of the thing.
Right.
But I think most people do not understand what publishing is in the first place.
Right. The space is unknown. The space is not regulated, I would say. But, you know, as we were discussing and as I said, what do you suggest to someone, let's say, with literary arts who just comes to you? Because India, you know, heft is something. I mean, if I talk on the movie side, people steal scripts. They get replicated, duplicated, right? Like as you narrated the incident just before this of Satyajit Ray and One Gentleman. You know, scripts also get jacked on. Like somebody might just steal your script or might just copy paste it and name it as if it's their own, right? In books also, I'm sure at the time of inception, if the blueprint which is being penned down, without being published and all those legalities being done, what do you suggest to someone? Because see, now you are established publishing house. You are someone who's been doing this business for a while. And you know some of the nuances. What do you suggest to someone who has no idea, comes from scratch, but I'm sure is a great literarian or a great author or a great writer? You know, sometimes there are content writers who tend to write scripts, and they work on an idea, but the idea has to be penned down to be converted into a copyright, right? And then there is a dispute between the content writer and the gentleman who had the idea. So in that space, how does publishing work? Because I'm sure copyright takes a while for it to get formalized. And what if during that phase, someone comes to you? How do you deal with something of those sorts? What do you feel the copyright domain should have much better here? I mean, since you deal with all of these nuances, I'm sure you narrated a couple of incidents, but I thought of this scenario as well.
Yeah. So there is a registrar of copyright.
Wonderful. I want you to talk about that. Yes.
Yeah, it is there, but there are a lot of problems that could crop up for a first time author or any author
to
approach a publisher. Now, the first thing is to be careful, right? The first thing about copyrights, first thing about personal safety is about being careful. So most publishers will first ask you for a couple of chapters, as I mentioned the last time. They will just ask you for a summary of the book and a couple of chapters. Never again. We will never ask for the complete manuscript or a book which has been written already. Right. So, but then again, the trust is a very important thing which comes after this. Only when a publisher goes through the first three chapters or perhaps the synopsis, and they like the book, only then they ask for the full manuscript, okay, to understand whether the four C's of publishing, of selecting a manuscript is being qualified in the process. And then we have a contract. It's the author-publisher contract. Now, a good publisher will never, never, for the sake of their own reputation, will never do something of that nature, of stealing somebody's manuscript or things like that. We would never do that because our reputation is at stake in the process. We don't want to be pulled in some plagiarism case or things like that. We want to publish good books. So we are generally careful about this. But after the book is published, there is an option of getting the book registered by the registrar of copyright, at the registrar of copyright. Now, there is also a Delivery of Book Act, which after publishing a book, every publisher will be sending it to these, I think, four or five libraries, which also marks that these books are published and are available, sort of thing. So, but registrar of copyright, if you go to the registrar of copyright with your manuscript without giving to the publisher, you will get the copyright and things like that. But if you make any changes on it, it will be an infringement on copyright sort of thing.
Absolutely.
You cannot make changes. And when you enter a publishing house, you will go through the editing process and things like that. So when it comes, if you register it before going to a publisher, most publishers will not pick it up because there is a possibility that things can go wrong around it, because we will have to edit a book. We can't keep a manuscript as it is without doing a copy editing or fact checking or proofreading. It will change. A manuscript is bound to change when it comes out as a book before it comes out.
Of course, because a lot of tweaks have to happen, right?
But again, registrar of copyright is optional. You can, when the book is out, it's there. It's already your copyright. Credits are given on the copyright page. There's an entire copyright page in every book. If you open that book, any book, you will find it. I'll show you one.
Yeah.
Let me take, for example, Japanese Art in Perspective. So this is a book I got from the library. So for example, this is the copyright page. This is the copyright. It has all the information. When was it first published? Text and illustrations, copyright, everything, and all rights and their disclaimers as well. So, yeah, there is perhaps more chances of copyright infringement in the form of plagiarism after the book is published.
Of course, you know, you just have to tweak the language, reword it, and get it published. That's one of the gray areas of this. So, I stress to people that you should know your intellectual property rights really well. You should know how this works. And before you get into this business, I think copyright is a must for everyone, whether they're into publishing, into printing, or they're authors, or they're into any of the literary side of arts. So, Trisha, any advice? Because I believe you have some pointers which you had made before we started, which we were discussing. Would you like to highlight upon them?
The first thing I'll tell you, any book on copyright law is very difficult to comprehend. I was breaking my head when I started off. Ye kya hai? What is it? Because the legal aspect, I don't understand. The legal language, I don't understand. So there is perhaps, I don't know, except for the WIPO course, there is perhaps nothing which really...
The WIPO course is the only one.
Yeah, there is nothing perhaps which tells us clearly, now with non-legal background, what copyright is and how do we deal with it. Plus, there are so many things which I get to learn after experiencing them. For example, let's take for the what do I take for an example? Let's take the case of the copyright clearance sort of thing, which we do since we work with a lot of museums and we have to clear a lot of copyright. The thing from Wikimedia Commons, the use of Wikimedia Commons and versus the use of the real photograph from a museum. Okay. Now, if an image is on the Wikimedia Commons, you will get an image. Generally, it's an image which is of a lower grade. It is not of the proper size and format that we require to print in a book. For example, we need 300 dpi of any image minimum to be published in a book. Now, many times we tried, a lot of people would have done it. I'm giving up what has happened. Many people might have used these higher grade also from the university, from the museum website or things like that, thinking that since it's on Wikimedia Commons available, right? Now, museums have become much more aware of this, and now it's not possible, but earlier it could have been possible. There have been times when we faced huge problems in claiming of copyright. For example, we were doing a book on the Red Fort, and we wanted a picture of the Kohinoor.
I think you'd have to go through a tedious process to be able to, I think, even use that.
Yes. So we had to send the dummy of the book twice and we wrote to the museum literally five times asking telling them what the purpose of the book was and things like that. And after 6 to 9 months, we got the image of the Kohinoor, but it was terrible. It could not be printed because there was reflection on the Kohinoor. So we had to go back, again shoot it on a black base or a non-shining base, and then put it on a picture in our book. This was perhaps one of the first pictures of Kohinoor to be published in a book.
Oh, very nice.
So we've faced problems like these. Then there could be, there's a problem of plagiarism, as you know. I don't want to take names, but we do not want to distribute our books in a certain region.
Right.
Because we know once a book goes there, it'll be plagiarized. It'll definitely be plagiarized. So that's why we don't want to even send our books or distribute our books to a certain region. But we can't stop it because to and fro happening from that region, and so this happens. Plus, you see the plagiarized books on the roadside. Right. You'll see most of them used to be plagiarized. Now, I don't know. And you could actually identify these plagiarized books because the paper was not the same quality and things like that. To deal with that, we started using holograms. So if any of our books do not have the authentic holograms, it's a plagiarized piece of work. So that's how we have been able to identify which is a plagiarized book, which is not.
Absolutely, Isha. Thank you so much. We've had a great interaction with you. I have literally had the pleasure of not talking on the show this time and listening to you. Usually it is the other way around. So it's good to hear someone else's voice because this is one area which I'm not very well versed with. So thank you so much for literally pouring in that piece of information. And since she has spoken so much about this, I think there is a part 3 also coming, but this will be in the next month where we'll have Trisha talk about publishing, I think from an IPR perspective altogether, because copyright is just one part of it. I think there are a lot of things when it comes to writing, and maybe you can guide our audience, someone who's into the literary or artistic field, to know how to pen their words also, because that makes a lot of difference when you're an author. And when these three drafts you spoke about, that's an interesting field from a law perspective also, because it might happen that I know that if you have 2 to 3 copies, even if one copy goes out, the rest of them are trashed because your work is done with. But thanks a lot, Trisha. It's interesting, and thank you so much for being with us. It's very, very informative. I hope our audience is able to understand and enjoy what I've had the pleasure to sit and have in conversation with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot.
I hope I've been able to explain anything.
No, something. And we're doing again, I think probably towards the end of August, we have her again and do some interesting content and talk about this at length. And, you know, I want to talk about Constitution as a book also being published, right? That is one interesting area I have in my mind. So thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Sumit. Thanks, everybody. Bye, Trisha. Wonderful chatting. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Cyrus Says, comedian Sahil Shah joined Cyrus and Antrish for a hilarious cock and bull episode. Marathi Kirkiton, our latest show, is all about Marathi culture, tradition, literature, cuisine, and more. To make your rainy day better, hear from Manik and Dr. Rajiv Deshmukh sharing their beautiful moments in this first episode. Avinash Mant from Facebook shares his journey in the advertising industry on Filter Coffee. On Storytellers and Storysellers, Vineet talks to Asad about leveling up as a musician, going from DJ to producer. On Tere Mere Raste, we revisit Amritsar's bloody history and mesmerizing glory. And on Storytime Tamil, a parable narrates a lesson on having restraint. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any other show for that matter, please do tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word about a podcast you love. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Seat, Cred, Global Victoria, Bank of Baroda, Intuit India, and CoinSwitch Kuber.
If you're a cricket fan, check out Edges and Sledges, India's favourite cricket podcast.
The podcast focuses on Indian cricket, the IPL, and has a ton of banter both on and off the field.
We talk about the week's biggest cricket stories with current and ex-international cricketers, coaches, or sometimes just between us.
And it's hosted by me, DJ.
Me, Varun.
And me, Ashwin.
New episodes release every week.
You can catch us on the IVM Podcasts website, app,
or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast.
A wise man once said, traveling, it makes you speechless, then turns you into a storyteller.
Well, listen to such travel stories and experiences exploring India on the Musafir Stories with us, Saif and Faiza.
Catch us on the IVM website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.